Welcome back to The Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. We are talking about... What are we talking about? Part 5, Chapter 4. It got hitched without a hitch. I think I meant to write they. They got hitched without a hitch. That's what I meant to write. I'm stupid. They got hitched without a hitch. You know, you try to make some clever wordplay and then you mess up the words. Gosh darn it. Oh, I'm still coughing. Ivan Norwegian said, "Here is Arbat Street, where the ballroom Kitty mentions in this chapter is located." Let's have a look. Google Maps. Ooh, that's a very pretty street. There you go. Bit of history. I'm in Google Maps Street View. I'm looking down a very historical looking kind of what do they call it, like one of those kind of avenues, outdoor shopping district kind of avenue things. There's a name for it, I can't think. There's a Dunkin' Donuts there, and there's a my cow shop. They sell cows of some description. There is a, well, it looks like a German beer house. A police-themed German beer house. It's probably not that, but that's what it looks like. What else we got? It's funny because these are all beautiful-looking old Russian, like, kind of apartment building-looking places. And there's a big row of them. Like a kind of, I don't know, it looks like it stretches on for miles in either direction from where we're standing. And then they're kind of all fronted with modern street signages like Dunkin' Donuts, neons and things like that. So it's a very old meets new kind of looking place. Brick pavement, no cars, just walking. Nice old-fashioned lamps all along the brick pavement. Beautiful. I want to go there. I want to go to... Where do I want to go? Where are we? Moscow? Yeah, we're in Moscow, aren't we? Let me expand the map a bit. We are indeed in the... Oh, God. Come on, maps, do the thing. So, yeah, Moscow. We're in Moscow. Cool. I want to go to Moscow now, apparently. Excuse me. Levin and Kitty repeatedly messing up the marriage rites was funny and endearing. Neither one of them knows where their life is headed. Only that a new chapter is beginning. I wonder what is going to happen after the honeymoon period. It was nice to get a glimpse into Kitty's point of view. Because Levin's so doubtful about what her intentions are. Is she just, you know, frightened into this and she doesn't really want to do it? Or what's happening in her head? And then you start to think, well, maybe he's right. Maybe she's not that interested as him. Because he does seem to be pretty sure that she's making a mistake. And then we got a glimpse into her head, and nope, she's just as head over heels for this whole marriage idea as he is. So that's nice. Thermos of Beer said, "You're not chilly. You look pale. Wait, bend down." Kitty's sister, Natalie, said. Kitty has a sister, Natalie? When the heck did that happen? Tolstoy seems to add in siblings that have no real parts in the story. In War and Peace, the Rostovs had Nikolai, Natasha, Petya, and also Vera. But we don't talk about Vera. The Kuragins have Helena, and Anatoly. Oh, and Ippolit. But we don't talk about Ippolit. And now we have Kitty, Dolly, and Natalie. But we don't talk about Natalie. I'm not sure why we don't talk about Natalie, but we don't. Jan Brunt said, Natalia is married to someone in the Foreign Service, something akin to the Diplomatic Corps, so she is frequently abroad. I believe she was mentioned earlier in the book relating to marrying well. I do wish we got a bit more about her. ETA, Levin also mentioned almost falling in love with her after Dolly got married and before he settled on Kitty. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah, because he fell in love with all of the sisters before he got to Kitty. Thermos of Beer said the other siblings I brought up were also briefly featured in War and Peace, but I just don't remember Natalie at all in Anna Karenina. I read the line I quoted twice because it just didn't make sense to me the first time. I had a vague memory of there being three sisters, because Kitty was like the last one left when he decided to fall in love with her. He'd already tried the other two, failed, and then he's like, yeah, I'll try this last one. And third time's a charm. But yeah, Tolstoy does do that, doesn't he? He has kind of missing siblings. Vera. Ippolit. Oh my golly gosh. Jesus, podcast, I tell you what. I've got like hay fever, I've got chest infection, I'm sneezing. I've got the works. This must be really fun to listen to. Chapter 5. Let's just get chapter 5 done. All Moscow. Sorry. All Moscow. Christ. Life. What a fun time. Chapter 5 goes like this. It just sounds like a sick person directly into your ears, is what it sounds like. Thanks for listening. Okay. All Moscow, including both relatives and friends, had congregated in the church. During the marriage ceremony in the brilliant illuminated building, among the crowd of elegant dresses, women and girls and men in evening dress with white ties or in uniform, conversation in the low tones required by propriety never flagged. It was usually started by the men, for the women were absorbed in watching every detail of the service, which always fascinates them. In the circle nearest the bride were her two sisters, Dolly, the elder, and the calm and beautiful Princess Lvova, who had come from abroad. Why is Mary in lilac? Marie, why is Marie in lilac? It's almost as unsuitable at a wedding as black, remarked Mrs. Korsunskaya. With her complexion, it's only her only salvation, replied Princess Drubetskaya. I wonder, they are having the wedding in the evening like tradespeople. It is more showy. I was married in the evening too, answered Mrs. Korsunskaya, and sighed as she remembered how sweet she had looked that day, how funnily enamoured her husband then was, and how different things were now. They say that one who has been best man more than 10 times never marries, and I wanted to be one for the 10th time to make myself safe, but was too late. Count Sinyavin was saying to the pretty young Princess Charskaya, who had designs on him. She answered only with a smile. She was looking at Kitty and thinking of the time when she would be standing there beside Count Sinyavin, just as Kitty now stood, and how she would then remind him of his joke. Young Shcherbatsky told the old maid of honour, Nikolaevna, that he intended to put the crown on Kitty's chignon to make her happy. Footnote says, the best man and the groomsmen hold heavy metal crowns above the heads of the bride and the bridegroom at a certain part of the service, and it is considered specially lucky if the crowns are actually put on. One ought not to wear a chignon, replied the maid of honour, who had long ago made up her mind that if the old widower for whom she was angling ever married, their wedding should be of the simplest. Koznishev was talking to Dolly, jokingly assuring her that the custom of going away after the wedding was spreading because newly married couples always felt rather uncomfortable. Your brother has a right to feel proud. She is wonderfully sweet. You must be feeling envious. I'm past all that, Darya Alexandrovna, he answered, and his face became unexpectedly sad and serious. Oblonsky was telling his sister-in-law the pun he had made about dissolving marriages. I must put her wreath straight, she replied, without listening. What a pity she has grown so much plainer, remarked Countess Nordston to the Princess Lvova. All the same, he is not worth her little finger, don't you agree? No, I like him very much, and not just because he will be my brother-in-law, answered the princess. How well he behaves, and it is so difficult to behave well under these circumstances and not be ridiculous, and he is not ridiculous or stiff, and is evidently touched. I suppose you quite expected this. Almost. She always liked him. Well, let us see which of them will step first on the mat. I have given Kitty my advice. It does not matter, replied Princess Lvova. We are all submissive wives. It is in our nature. Well, I stepped on the mat before Vasily, and you, Dolly? Dolly, who was standing near, heard but did not reply. Sorry. Sorry. Shit. My... Oh, my God. Sorry. My throat is so annoying. I have the most annoying throat in the world at the moment. What was I saying? If you're still listening, you're a bloody saint. Or an angel. One of them. She rejoiced... No, that's not what we're up to. Dolly, who was standing near, heard but did not reply. Her eyes were moist and she could not have spoken without bursting into tears. She rejoiced at the sight of Kitty and Levin, but going back to the past, she thought of her own wedding, kept glancing at the beginning, at the beaming Oblonsky, and forgetting the present, recollecting nothing but her own young and innocent love. She remembered not herself only, but all the women with whom she was intimate and acquainted, thought of them as they had been at that most solemn moment of their lives, when, like Kitty, they had stood beneath the nuptial crown with love, hope and fear in their hearts, renouncing the past and entering upon the mystic future. Among the brides that came to her mind was her dear Anna, about whose impending divorce she had heard a while ago. She too had once stood with veiled head, pure and crowned with orange blossom. And now, how strange, she murmured. All the details of the ceremony were followed not only by the two sisters, the friends and the relatives, but also by women, onlookers who were quite strangers, and who, breathless with excitement and afraid of missing anything, even a single movement or expression of the bride or bridegroom's face, and annoyed by an indifference of the men, did not answer, and indeed often did not hear the latter when they jested or made irrelevant remarks. There's a footnote here that I missed. It says, during part of the service, the couple stand upon a small mat. The one who first steps on it is supposed to become the predominant partner. Why is her face so tear-stained? Is she being married against her will? Against her will, indeed. There's such a fine fellow. Is he a prince? And is that her sister in white satin? Now, hear how the deacon will roar. Wives, obey your husbands. Is it the Charovsky choir? No, the Synods. I asked the footman. It seems he will take her to his estate straight off. He's dreadfully rich, they say. That's why they have given her to him. Oh no, they are a very nice couple. There now, Mary Vasilyevna, you were maintaining that crinolines were being worn fuller at the back. Just look at that one in the puce dress, an ambassador's wife, they say. See how it's draped this way and back again? What a darling bride the bride is, like a lamb decked for the slaughter. But whatever you may say, one does feel sorry for a girl. So chattered the crowd of women who had managed to get inside the church. All right. Sorry. There's another chapter done. Oh, what a struggle. Sorry. I really am sorry. That's quite gross that I'm coughing and spluttering all throughout the episode. That must be horrible to listen to. Thanks for listening, though, because you're a bloody legend. I'll see you tomorrow.